Welcome to another episode of Kevo and Heidi's Disney Over Coffee.
I'm Kevo.
And I'm Heidi.
And let's talk about Disney.
Let's do it. And we're back.
It's been a bit.
It has
but
been.
We're back.
It has been a bit. Did you fart?
I couldn't help it. I'm sorry. We should probably start over.
And we're back.
It's been a while, but we're here. We're here.
We're here
to talk about a movie.
A very good movie, I think. But before we get to the movie, though, let's play another round of which movie is it?
Mm-hmm. Which movie is it?
And listeners, if you haven't guessed, Kev has pretty much given up on trying to find quotes.
I keep forgetting.
So it's pretty much just a game for, you know, him more so than me. I mean, I still have fun whenever you can't guess it. It's fun. Mm-hmm. It's fun all around. All right, you ready?
Let's do this. Frozen 2.
No. No. Okay, ready? Mm-hmm. I'm the only stick with eyeballs.
Toy Story 4.
No.
A Bug's Life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, that was a solid guess.
Yeah, that was no guess. That was an educated.
Okay. Did you want to hear the other two I had?
Hit me.
Hey, cutie, want to pollinate with a real bug?
That's from the ladybug. He says that.
No, it was the fly that says it to the ladybug.
Fly says it.
Yeah, the fly says it to the ladybug. And then he gets all angry because obviously ladybugs are male and female. Mm-hmm. Which is pretty funny. There's something about the dots though on the back that you can like count how many and
really?
You can tell. Yeah, I heard that somewhere. Where you can like count exactly how many dots and that determines which one's male and which one's female.
Oh, see, see.
Pretend it's a seed, okay? You don't remember that part? I should have started with that one. Because that was the one where, like, remember where he's trying to give the whole seed analogy? It's like, the seed grows into a big old tree. And it's like, this is a rock. It's like, yes, I understand. It's a rock. But pretend it's a seed, okay? Very adorable. All right, moving on.
Moving on.
All right, so, Alice in Wonderland.
Alice in Wonderland.
It's one of my faves. I love it so much. It still makes me laugh to this day. It's just so ridiculous and so fun and so random. It's a fun movie. Mm-hmm. Very, very fun. But so it was filmed in 1951. Well, probably before then, but released in 1951. Mm-hmm. Directed by Clyde Geronimi, Wilfred Jackson, and Hamilton Lusk. Based on Alice's Adventures in Wonderland by Lewis Carroll. Have you read that?
I have not read it.
I have, and it's actually very good. Random as hell, just like the movie. It's definitely not one that I would say is like a beginner read. It's definitely like an advanced read, I think.
Really?
Because there's a lot of, I think, metaphorical aspects of it. Which, you know, I'm sure we could get into at some point. But there's a really good book out there called Alice in Wonderland and Philosophy. I still have not started it yet, but I can't wait. It's going to be so good. Voices include Catherine Beaumont, Edwin, Richard Hayden, and Sterling Holloway.
Don't know any of those people.
We have no idea there, because they're mostly voice actors. All right, I got some trivia. Do you want to hear it?
Hit me.
Okay. The doorknob was the only character in the film that did not appear in Lewis Carroll books. The doorknob.
Wait, I thought you said Tweedledum and Tweedledee.
I thought so, but I think I was wrong. Maybe they were in the Looking Glass. I haven't finished that one.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, the doorknob was the only character.
The doorknob, yeah.
Yeah. Well, she tried to murder him anyways.
Well, he was also... Well, no, he really wasn't mean.
He wasn't mean at all.
He was fine.
No.
Yeah, he was okay.
It would have been manslaughter.
Yeah.
Involuntary manslaughter.
Well. This movie was actually a huge box office failure. It didn't start to be popular until the 60s.
I wonder why.
Yeah, I think when you think about the 50s, the time that it was, people probably didn't attach to it very much. But the 60s, with all of the, you know, psychedelics.
All of the psychedelics.
Probably loved it. But I mean, I still like it myself, and I'm not really a psychedelic person. But no.
Like, do your thing, but I ain't for me.
That's okay. The Mad Hatter is apparently based on the phrase mad as a hatter, which has a historical basis. In the hat industry of the 19th century, there was extensive use of mercury, and liquid mercury is one of the causes of mercury poisoning, which can cause brain damage. Among the symptoms are slurred speech, memory loss, tremors, behavior that can be seen as insane.
Hmm.
So that's why the kind of Mad Hatter character has become a big thing, because back when people actually made hats like that by hand with that kind of material, they would typically
lose their poisoning minds. People.
Yeah, they would typically get sick
mm-hmm.
because of that. So luckily we've changed the way that we make hats. Different. All right. So where do we start the film?
Well, we start the film with a boring lecture on history.
And who knows what she was talking about? I did not really pay attention.
I started dozing off.
You actually did.
No, I didn't.
Well.
I was just resting my eyes.
But that's anyway, all. I get the feeling that Alice is absolutely not interested in this lesson at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that that's her sister. That's how it's described in the synopsis. That's her sister, not like her governess or anything. That's her older sister.
Oh, that's not a mom? I thought that was like a mom.
It looked like a very, very grown lady. But then again, we're also talking about a different time. The girls were also made to look a lot older because they were usually married off probably by that time. So her sister's probably married.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, she starts talking to her little kitty.
Cute.
Be like, I wish everything was crazy.
Dinah.
Everything was
Dinah,
nonsense.
Her little kitty.
What was her name?
Dinah.
Dinah. Like dynamo?
No, like someone's in the kitchen with Dinah.
Like dynamite?
No. But yes, so Alice is singing about everything being nonsense and how the flowers have extra special powers. And I actually really like the song. It's very cute.
Mm-hmm.
Now, nonsense. Once more, from the beginning. That's it, Dinah. If I had a world of my own, everything would be nonsense. Nothing would be what it is, because everything would be what it isn't. And contrariwise, what it is, it wouldn't be. And what it wouldn't be, it would. You see? Ow. In my world, you wouldn't say, meow. You'd say, yes, Miss Alice. Ow. Oh, but you would. You'd be just like people, Dinah. And all the other animals, too. Why, in my world, cats and rabbits would reside in fancy little houses.
But all of a sudden, she sees this rabbit. This white rabbit who keeps saying that he's late for a very important date. Which we don't know exactly what that is until later. I think, anyway. My theory is. I'll tell you about it later.
What I want to know is what is he doing in the human world? What's he doing in the normal world? What was he there for? Was he meeting up with somebody? Did he have a love interest?
Maybe. Maybe he met another rabbit from another world and they were trying to make it work.
Oh, but they couldn't. Yeah. It's like, I got work. I got a career.
All the time. Got a house.
I got a house.
Got a maid.
Got a maid.
All those things. So obviously, Alice being a very curious child that she is, how old do you think Alice is? How old do you think we're supposed to believe Alice
I'm
is?
Thinking she's supposed to be like maybe eight.
Eight, yeah. She looks like a child, like a little child. So I'm thinking, yeah, no more than like 8 or 9 or something. But she's also from a different time period, so she's well educated. She says, please. She says, pardon me.
She says, please and pardon.
Yep, so she follows the rabbit, and you can kind of tell that Dinah is not really into this whole, like, following the rabbit thing. I feel like Dinah has some sense.
And Kitty don't play.
Yeah, Kitty is just like, no. But she follows the rabbit down this rabbit hole, and she falls in.
Yeah, and do you want to know what she does? Typically, if you start falling, you start freaking out.
You start screaming.
You know what she does? She's like, bye, little kitty.
Bye, Dinah. Little kitty. Goodbye.
What's wrong with you?
Luckily, though, she didn't, like, pummel to her death. That would have been the end of the story. It was a very long fall.
It's almost like she knew.
But it was very interesting. Yeah, gravity kind of changes, and she's just kind of floating down. Floating all the way down. Very, very funny, though. Just the journey that she makes, looking at books, looking at chairs. She sits in one at one point and tries to, like, rock back with it and then falls off of it. It's so funny. But, so she all of a sudden goes upside down, and she makes it to the bottom. And she follows the rabbit through all of these doors, like one door after another or after another. And she goes into this big old room with nothing in it except for this other door behind some curtains.
That's alive! It's alive!
Yes. So she tries to open the door, and the door is like alive and says, "Excuse me, what are you doing?" And it's like, I'm trying to get to the white rabbit.
Curiouser and curiouser. Oh, I beg your pardon.
Quite all right, but you did give me quite a turn.
You see, I was following...
It's rather good, what? Doorknob turn?
Please, sir.
Well, one good turn deserves another. What can I do for you?
Well, I'm looking for a white rabbit, so if you don't mind...
Eh? Oh!
There he is! I simply must get through!
Sorry, you're much too big. Simply impassable.
You mean impossible?
No, impassable. Nothing's impossible. Why don't you try the bottle on the table?
Table? Oh!
Read the directions, and directly you'll be directed in the right direction.
Drink me. Better look first.
It's like, oh, well, you are much too big to get through this door. Like, it's impassable. And she says, you mean impossible? And he's like, no, impassable. Nothing's impossible.
Nothing's impossible.
And I don't know why that makes me laugh. It just makes me chuckle. But anyway, he directs her to a bottle on a table that just suddenly appears.
Yeah, he's all like, did you miss the drink? And all of a sudden, there's the drink.
It's like, no, I didn't see it there before. So she starts drinking, and she gets very, very small to the right size to fit through the door.
Mm-hmm.
However, he later tells her that he's locked.
Yeah. Failed to mention...
the key.
And maybe he's doing all this because, I mean, he's a door. He doesn't go anywhere. He's like, this is the first interaction I've had in 20 years.
But if we're assuming that our theory about the rabbit is true, he must go through them all the time, right?
I mean, I guess it depends. I bet you there's a million other places that he could go through to get into Wonderland.
I mean, maybe he can just dig through.
He can just dig through.
But anyway, yep, she has to go back up to the table to get the key. She can't do it, obviously, because she's too small. So he then suggests the box with the eat me cookies.
Eat me.
And so she takes a bite.
Like a little bite, too.
A little bite, yeah. A really small bite. And she gets really big really fast. And then gets too big. And she gets very upset because the doorknob's kind of like ragging on her a little bit. Making fun of her. You know, not taking it too seriously. But she starts to cry. She's very upset. And turns the whole room, honestly, into like a puddle.
Well, it turned into an ocean.
Yeah, it was kind of that way. But she is able to get past the door, though, because she gets the last bit of the bottle juice. And she's able to get so small that she actually fits into the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And then she makes it to the other side of the door, and she's trying to get help from everybody. Everybody's just ignoring her.
There's little starfishes. There's parrots. There's lobsters and stuff like that. And she's calling for help, and they're too busy swimming.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty funny. But yeah, so she actually makes it, and she finds the dodo bird leading a group of animals in a caucus race to get dry. Which I don't know if that's like another like... political type of like metaphor or something like that.
Ooh,
just
maybe.
Running around in circle, you know, because caucus, typically when you talk about a caucus, like you think about politicians
Just running around, doing a whole lot of nothing.
That's what I think. Like, the whole, obviously, Lewis Carroll being a very, very smart individual. I think he was, like, a mathematician. Mm-hmm. And he definitely had a lot of, I think, thoughts about life. And that he translated, I think, into this book. So, we could kind of see it. They were literally running around in a circle. This whole caucus race. Just beep, 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 beep. So, she eventually leaves. And she finds Tweedledee and Tweedledum. And again, they don't look too friendly to me. They look malicious to me. They kind of freak me out a little.
They're evil.
The ones in this version look very, very scary and malicious to me.
I don't know. I don't think they're evil.
I don't know.
They're just, you know.
They're just drawn that way?
They're just Tweedledee and Tweedledum. That's right. Don't hate me. I was drawn this way.
So they get together and trying to meet up with her. They talk to her about logic and manners and that kind of thing. And they also try to convince her to stay to listen to a story.
Mm-hmm.
And what story is that?
The Walrus and the Oysters.
The Walrus and the Carpenter?
The Walrus and the Carpenter.
All of it is applicable here. The Walrus and the Oysters and the Carpenter, all of them together. So the story is kind of like funny to me, again, because it's so random. It's just, it doesn't make too much sense. But it's supposed to be like the Walrus and the Carpenter are walking around. The Carpenter wants to get to work, and the Walrus does not seem to be about it.
Have you seen walruses?
I mean, they're...
they just lounge around. They don't work.
Well, clearly, this walrus did not want to work.
You know what they do? They just lay on the beach. And then they lay on the beach some more. And they eat. You see how big they are?
Mm-hmm. They eat lots of food. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so what happens, though?
What happens is you see murder. Uh-huh. Because they're hungry. So what do? They find them some oysters. And like little baby oysters too.
Yeah, they're not
even, oh my gosh.
They're not even full ones. Baby ones, but they're hungry obviously. The carpenter builds this little like shack in like 2 seconds. Yeah, the walrus is able to kind of like Pied Piper them to get out, to follow him. And they make it to the little shack and the carpenter starts to like chop up some bread and some vinegar.
Yeah, the walrus plays his flute. He seduces those oysters to get inside of the like the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And then he tricks the carpenter into making bread. And then what does he do?
He eats them.
He eats them.
Because by the time the carpenter makes it out with, you know, the slices of bread and all of that, all of the oysters are gone. All the shells are cleaned off. I mean, they do look pretty delicious, I guess. But I've never actually had oysters, so maybe I don't know if they're delicious or not.
You know, they're definitely, they're interesting.
Maybe if they're, like, cooked. I don't know if I could do the raw thing.
No. You gotta just...
No, I don't like the idea of it.
Mm-hmm.
A friend told me that she could feel it moving around in there. In her throat. Just, oof, I don't like that thought. But anyway, yeah, so that's the end of the story. The carpenter obviously gets very mad and just starts chasing the walrus around. But it's supposed to be like a moral of like, hey, don't be seduced by such easy charms and, you know, music. You know?
Yeah, when you hear that flute playing, you run.
Mm-hmm.
And stay away from walruses.
So they want Alice to stay a little bit longer to try to get another story in, I guess. But she kind of sneaks off, mm-hmm. Which I understand. She was still trying to find the rabbit. And she actually ends up finding the rabbit's home.
Marianne! Glad that girl. Where could she have put them? Marianne!
The rabbit!
Marianne! No, you can't wait. I'm awfully late. Oh, me, oh, my, oh, me, oh, my.
Excuse me, sir, but I've been trying to...
Why, Marianne! What are you doing out here?
Marianne!
Don't just do something, stand there. No, go. Go get my gloves, I'm late.
But late for what? That's just what I...
My gloves! At once! Do you hear?
Oh, goodness.
I suppose I'll be taking orders from Dinah next. Now let me see.
Yeah, he was getting dressed.
And he confuses her with Marianne.
Marianne. I would see, who's this Marianne?
I'm assuming Marianne is his maid.
No, I'm thinking Marianne is his wife.
You think so? Mm-hmm. I mean, it was the 50s, I guess. Because he was definitely bossing her around as soon as he saw her.
Yeah, because he was so high strung, like, he wasn't paying attention. He was just like, you're Marianne. I'm just joking. I don't actually know.
I don't know. I was thinking it was his maid, though, because the fact that he didn't recognize her, you would think that he didn't see her that often. But
ooh. See, because he was in the real world with his mistress.
But anyway, he tells her to fetch his gloves because he's late. And she just kind of does what he says. She's like, okay, fine.
Yeah, I would have been like, mind your business, man. I just want to know where you're going. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so he tells her to get his gloves. She goes inside. She starts looking for gloves. But then she finds some cookies.
Yeah, yeah. Don't eat anything in Wonderland. Don't eat
anything in Wonderland. You're just going to have to starve, okay?
Yeah, no, bring your own food.
Bring your own food to Wonderland because it's going to make you big or small. Or wide. Who knows?
Or wide.
Who knows? But yeah, so she starts getting really, really huge. And she covers the entirety of his house. And he starts to freak out, of course, and he goes to get help. And he brings back the dodo. Mm-hmm. He brings back the dodo, and the dodo pretty much says, like, okay, well, we gotta take it out the chimney. That's what we gotta do. And
like, what does that even mean?
I don't even know. We gotta take it out the chimney. We gotta do that. But he's like, okay, who's gonna do it, though? Because it's not gonna be me. It's not gonna be you. And then there's a lizard walking by with a ladder.
Yeah, Larry the Lizard.
It's Bill.
Bill the...
Bill. So Bill, gets to the scene. Dodo says, hey, have you ever climbed down a chimney? And Bill gets all excited. He's like, why, governor? I've been down more chimneys. He's like, okay, great. That's exactly what we need. That's the energy that we're looking for here. So what you're going to do is you're going to go down this chimney and you're going to pull that monster out, okay? Okay. And Bill starts to freak out because he's like, monster, wait, monster. And so Bill does not want to do this, but the dodo kind of forces him into it, saying that he could be famous, saying that, you know, it's a great opportunity, here you go, and just shoves him down the chimney. And I guess the chimney dust kind of gets into Alice's nostrils. And she makes a huge sneeze, and Bill just goes away up into the sky.
Yeah, a lot of people die in this movie.
Well, we don't necessarily know if Bill dies. Bill just doesn't come back down.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? The oyster babies?
Bill. Oh, okay, that's true. I mean, not in
sea. Four Bill guards.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, Bill doesn't come back, so it's actually pretty sad. Alice kind of looks over to the garden to get a carrot to see if that'll kind of make her small. And it does work. She gets all small. Gets all small, and she ends up chasing after the rabbit again because he's off again saying he's late. And she ends up in a whole forest of flowers.
And they think... she's a weed.
Yes, they're not very nice. They're very mean. Yeah, they're very judgmental, the flowers. They do sing a beautiful song, though. Golden Afternoon. Very sweet. We get to see all of the different flowers and all of that stuff. But, yeah, they do not treat her well. Once they're done singing, they're asking her, like, where are you from? What genus are you? Like, what's going on? And she says, well, I'm not a flower. And so they suspect, like, okay, well, you're a weed then. If you just crawled up in here and you're not a flower. So they're afraid, obviously, because weeds do end up hurting flowers a lot more than not. You get a weed up in flowers and they're all dead. They steal all their nutrients. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, she takes off after they're being very, very mean. Very mean to her. Spray her with water or whatever. And then she runs into a caterpillar. Smoking hookah.
Smoking the ganja.
Yep, so the caterpillar also is not nice. Very rude.
Yeah, that whole forest, man.
I mean, I think maybe just Wonderland in general. Is everybody just not nice in Wonderland? It's the opposite of the... It's supposed to be the opposite of the real world, so maybe they're just meant to be mean and crazy, I guess. But anyway, so he...
I don't know, that mouse was really nice.
Well...
He was just drunk.
Well. Yep. So, yep. So the caterpillar is talking about, you know, who are you? Who are you? Yep. So, and of course, Alice doesn't really know exactly how to respond. He all of a sudden is like, okay, well, recite something. Just say a little ditty for me. Something. And she tries, but it doesn't quite go, like, you know, to his liking. So he then goes into this whole, like, how doth the little crocodile with every, you know, golden scale or whatever. The little crocodile, you know. Mm-mm. It's like a little, you know, limerick or whatever.
A haiku.
Sure. Haiku of sorts. And then she's impressed, of course. But she's still upset with the fact that she's so small. And she actually mentions, like, being 3 inches high is a wretched height. And he gets very, very mad. Because he's exactly 3 inches high.
Is he?
Yes. So he's very, very upset.
I thought he was, like, bigger than her.
He looked longer just because he's a caterpillar. But, yep. So anyway.
Was metaphorically saying.
Maybe. But, yep. So he kind of smokes a whole bunch of more hookah at that point just to kind of calm himself. And then he just disappears.
Yeah.
He disappears. And then he turns into a beautiful butterfly. And he kind of gives her some advice, like, hey, one side will make you grow taller, one side will make you grow shorter. And she's like, the other side of what? The side of what? Like, what? I don't understand. And he gets so mad, and he's like, the mushroom, of course.
How am I supposed to know that? I would have threw something at him.
He got so mad. He had no patience at all. Like, she's new to the place, so it's like, the other side of what? Like, I don't understand. What? It's like, the mushroom. Stupid. So she gets one side of the mushroom, the other side of the mushroom, takes them with her, takes a bite of one, because at first she's really not wanting to do it. She's hesitant, but she takes a bite of one. She gets so tall, about a tree, and she interrupts a mother in her nest, and she starts to scream around saying, serpent. Like, I suppose you don't eat eggs then. And it's like, oh yes, I do eat eggs. It's like, I knew it, serpent. So anyway, she's able to get smaller again with the other side of that mushroom, that little piece. And then she tries to get a little taller than what she just had gotten to, so she licks it instead of biting it. Which actually was very smart. She just goes, licks it instead of a bite.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets to exactly the size that she wants to be. And then out of nowhere, she finds a Cheshire Cat. With a very, very big grin. And he likes to appear and disappear whenever he wants to.
Mm-hmm.
Like his superpower. Other than just aggravating people, I guess. But yeah, so he talks about, you know, everyone's kind of mad here. So if you're expecting anything different, like... You're silly.
Yeah.
Like the Mad Hatter, normal? The March Hare, they're yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Right. So, but anyway, he disappears, and she actually goes to the Mad Hatter's home, where there's an unbirthday party.
Whose unbirthday party?
With tea. Well, I guess the host's unbirthday party.
Merry unbirthday to you, to who, to me, to you.
You were saying that you would like to think... Pardon. You were seeking some information of some kind?
Oh, yes. You see, I'm looking for a...
Clean cup, move down!
But I haven't used my cup.
Clean cup, move down, clean cup, move down. Would you like a little more tea?
Well, I haven't had any yet, so I can't very well take more.
Ah, you mean you can't very well take less? Yeah, you can
an orbit take more than nothing.
But I only meant that.
And now, my dear, something seems to be troubling you. Won't you tell us all about it?
Start at the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. And when you come to the end, stop.
Ray?
Well, it all started while I was sitting on the riverbank with Dinah.
Very interesting.
It's adorable. But yeah, so they see her at the end of the table and they're like, no room, no room. Even though it's a very, very big table with chairs everywhere. And they're like, no, no room, no, no room. And Alice says, well, I thought there was plenty of room. And then the March Hare says, oh, well, it's very rude to enter a party that you haven't been invited. Which is true. I do agree, which is true. But so they welcome her anyway, I guess. They accept her presence. And they're trying to pass around a cup of tea. But we realize that, like, they have really no intention of letting her drink any tea. She doesn't drink any.
Well, good, because I don't think it's tea.
Man, it might be. It might be something else entirely. Mm-hmm.
I think it's alcohol.
Something. Some brown fluid.
Some brown fluid.
All hot. But yeah, so it's a mess. Alice does say that it's on her unbirthday too, you know? Like, unbirthday is essentially like every other day of the year that you don't have a birthday, that's your unbirthday. Mm-hmm. So they celebrate it. So essentially what you're saying is like every single day of the year you could celebrate something.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she ends up celebrating her unbirthday. She gets a little gift and it ends up being just the mouse. The little like cake thing. The little cake fireworks. Cake, yeah, like the fireworks. Cake goes into the fireworks. And then the little mouse comes down with a little song.
What does he sing?
It says, twinkle, twinkle, little bat. How I wonder what you're at. Up above the world you fly, like a tea tray in the sky. And then it goes back into the little teapot. All adorable. It's all cute. But anyway, so she tries to kind of tell a little bit of her journey, where she's from. They keep interrupting her, though, of course, because it's just like they're just not paying attention. And then they have that random ass question. That random question. The why is a raven like a writing desk? Which isn't grammatically correct, really.
Why?
I don't think there's officially an answer.
They don't give an answer?
No, I don't think so. I think I Googled and it said, like, the only one that Lewis Carroll accepted from, like, an actual person, like a fan, who had said, like, Edgar Allan Poe wrote on both.
Wrote on, yeah.
Yeah, because he wrote The Raven and then he also wrote on a desk. So it's like, oh, okay, whatever. It's a very random question. But anyway, she continues her story, tries to get them to pay attention. They're not really doing so. But she mentions her cat, Dinah. And the mouse gets all scared at the sound of cat. It's like, cat, cat, what? And they have to put jam on his nose to calm him down.
See, there's something. There's something going on with all that.
Maybe. Maybe he's also mad. Mad mouse. Yep, so also the rabbit shows up and says, you know, I'm late, you know, hello, goodbye, I'm late. And then the Mad Hatter's like, oh, well, I know why you're late. This clock is
it's 3 days late.
This watch is 2 days slow.
Oh, 2 days slow.
It's like, 2 days slow, what are you talking about? And they try to fix it with a whole bunch of crap. They like put mustard or something.
No, they didn't put mustard.
Oh no, he said mustard was silly.
Yeah, mustard silly. But they put in jam.
Jam.
They put in tea.
Butter.
They put two spoons.
Two spoons, like literally two spoons. Sugar, lemon. They put lemon on it. Spreaded it with the butter and the salt and the, you know, and then they put it all together, close it, and it starts like going crazy.
Mad watch.
And the March Hare crushes it with a big old hammer. 2 days slow, that's what it is. And the rabbit is so sad. He's very, very sad. It's like, this was an unbirthday present. and you just broke it. Mm-hmm. And so they get together, I guess, and they celebrate his own birthday again, but they like toss him away from the party.
Yeah.
They toss him across the yard. So Alice leaves, and the March Hare and the Mad Hatter do not notice at all. They continue partying. But yeah, so she goes back into the forest, and at this point she gets very lost.
Yeah, it's almost like it changed.
It changed, yeah. She gets very, very lost, and it gets dark. Starts getting a little dark to me. But yeah, so she tries to find a path. She's not able to. She sings a very sad song. And makes everybody cry until they disappear, I guess.
Yeah, no. See, look at that. She tried to drown a door. She killed a lizard.
That was an accident.
And now she's causing mass extinction in the forest.
the gnome rats. The birds with the pencils on the ends.
Yeah, the pencil birds.
Pencil
the, birds. The umbrella vultures.
Umbrella vultures. There were like little ducks that were like little horns.
Yeah, horn ducks.
Horn ducks. There was, what else was there? There was a little bird that was a mirror without eyes. Very silly things. There were birds with like hammers instead of heads. Yeah, it's like, it's very cute when you think about it, but it was, like, odd. But, yeah, so she gets very sad, sings a song, and she, encounters the Cheshire Cat again. Mm. He appears with his big old grin, and, you know, she says, like, I'm through finding out where the rabbit's going. I just want to go home. I want to go home, but I can't find my way. And he says, well, that's why. Because you have no way. Like, mm-hmm. You're in Wonderland. Like, you're in Wonderland. The only way is the Queen's way. And she's like, oh, well, I've never met any queens since I've been here. And he's like, oh, well, you gotta do that first.
Yeah, yeah. No.
The Queen.
No, I think he tried to send her.
To her death?
To her death.
I think so. He was being fun. Ooh, like, that was fun for him.
You kitty cat.
That was fun. Like, he loves playing pranks, I think. Getting people into trouble. So anyway, he's like, oh, well, you gotta meet the queen, duh. And the best way for you to get there is actually through the shortcut that I have here in this tree. And she's able to get to the queen's garden through there. So Alice makes it through the garden, through the maze, mm-hmm. and she finds a whole bunch of cards. But they're, like, alive.
They're alive.
They have feet and heads and hands.
Hands, and they're painting. And they love to paint.
They like to paint when they have planted the wrong kinds of roses.
Yeah. The queen doesn't like white roses.
She likes them red. And they painted they planted the wrong ones, so they're painting the roses red. And it's like a little ditty. A little ditty. But Alice all of a sudden gets into it. She's always at the scene of the crime.
Yeah. Yeah, what's going on there?
Yeah, so she starts painting with them, and then all of a sudden the horn goes off, and the queen's coming.
The queen is coming.
But then we see the white rabbit. Now, remember I told you that we noticed that the white rabbit had a heart on his chest the whole time.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I think he was late to work. That's what I think.
Yeah, he was late, because he announced, it's like, make way for the queen!
Make way for the queen of hearts! And the king. That nobody cares about, I guess. He's all small in comparison to her. She's like giant. But yeah, so she shows up and then she sees that the roses have been painted red. And she gets angry. Yep. Which I think preferably is her state of natural being. Anger. She likes sending people to their death. So she gets mad, accuses them, says who did it, who did it. Didn't really matter though, because she sentenced all of them to be off with their heads, all of them. And then she sees Alice and says, okay, well, who's that? What are you? And the king looks at her and says, like, oh, well, it doesn't look like a heart. Do you suppose she's a club? It's like, no, it's a little girl. It's like, yes. And she tells her to curtsy, this is how you curtsy in front of a queen. This is what you will do. And you will, you know, open your mouth wide and say, yes, your majesty.
Yes, your majesty.
And Alice does, as she's told. But she's trying to let her know, like, okay, I'm just trying to get home. And, you know, I understand you're the queen and all that. But, you know, can you show me the way home? And the queen really doesn't care. Like, I do not care about you trying to get home. But let me ask you a question. Do you play croquet?
Croquet.
And she says, yes, I do. It's like, okay, well, let the games begin. Let's go. Now, obviously, if I am in a land that I do not know, and I have already seen a whole group of people being sentenced to their death by this larger-than-life queen, would I try to win a game of croquet? Would I really be trying to win?
Yes.
Or would I just try to play
nope.
to lose?
Nope. There's only winners. We gotta get that W.
What?
That's right, Alice.
What if it means your head? She doesn't want anybody
to
beat
her. It's all about
her.
The W. Alice understands. Oh, she understands God. It's all about that W.
I don't think so. Because it gets her into trouble. Yeah, so they start to play croquet, and the balls are like little hedgehogs.
Mm-hmm.
Very cute, and the clubs are flamingos. Like, they look like flamingo creatures, pink and green ones. But yeah, so they start to play. The queen completely misses, but the hedgehog starts moving anyway, and the cards end up being like the little hoops, and they just make her win. Like, they know what this means.
Mm-hmm.
They know what this is.
Cheat.
If it means that the queen gets to win, it doesn't mean your head. But there is one that misses it at the very end, and she sentenced him to death for not getting into place.
Yep.
To be a hoop.
Yeah. It's all about that win.
Yes. So then it's Alice's turn, and Alice puts the flamingo together, and he's supposed to be like all stiff, all linear.
Mm-hmm.
And he just softens up. He's like... And so she really doesn't know how to handle this. So she tries to, like, get it to be used, you know, in all different ways. And he's not cooperating.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, she gets very frustrated. And she uses him however she can. And she actually gets the hedgehog to move. So, but he doesn't go where he's supposed to. So, but then all of a sudden the treasure cat shows up again. Shows up again, right on her tuchus. So, he obviously is like, okay, well, how are you having fun? Are you having fun? And Alice says, no, I'm not. It's like, oh, what was that? And she says, no, I'm not. Like, wow. It's like, who are you talking to? Because the queen obviously thinks that she's talking to her. But she says, no, I'm just talking to the Cheshire Cat, your majesty. It's like, what cat? I don't see any. What? Because he likes to appear and disappear whenever. So, obviously. And she issues a warning and says, hey, if I lose my temper, you lose your head. You got it?
Ooh.
Like, you got that? And so she says, yes, I understand. But the Cheshire Cat shows up again and says, like, you know, we could really make her mad if we wanted to. And Alice says, no, please, please do not do that. And the Cheshire Cat says, oh, but it's loads of fun.
Good for you.
Right, because he can disappear. So what he does is he takes the beak of the bird that she's about to, like, swing, puts it under her dress, and she inadvertently pulls, you know, her dress to the other side. So her bloomers are out for everyone
her
to see.
Her booty's out.
Yes. So she's very, very upset, and she automatically accuses Alice of doing it. No contest. Like, just says, I know you did it. Off with your head. Off with it. But then the king shows up and says, well, maybe she should have a trial.
Trial?
A little trial. What do you think? It's like, okay, fine. Let's do a trial. So they get to the courtroom. Everybody shows up. There's a jury. There's witnesses. But essentially, I don't think that the queen intended for any justice to actually be served. It was like, nah, I'm just here to I'm just here to for the fun of having a trial.
I'm here to kill you. Mm-hmm. No matter.
Yep. Oh, and the Mad Hatter shows up too. The March Hare shows up. The little mouse, the Dormouse, shows up. They give testimonies of just them being around their tea party, I guess. But they mention that it's their own birthday. And the king says, oh, well, your majesty, your own birthday is today too. So they start celebrating. They bring out the tea, they bring out the sugar, all of that stuff. And they give her a present, which seems to be like a crown of sorts. But it's actually not a crown. It's the Cheshire Cat.
Ooh, that cat.
The Cheshire Cat shows up again. And her mentioning the word cat again scares the Dormouse. Like, he starts running. And so they're trying to catch the mouse. They're trying to get the jam. Because obviously, jam on his nose will calm him down. But instead of getting the jam on the cat, or not the cat, instead of getting the jam on the mouse, they get the jam on the queen's face.
Ooh, she got jammed.
Yes. And then the king smashes the hammer on the queen's head. And so, of course, she's very, very upset. And, of course, they don't want to get caught, so they give Alice the hammer and the jam. Uh-huh. And she sees it. And she says, okay, well, off with your head now. That makes sense. Off with your head. But all of a sudden, Alice remembers that she had the pieces of mushroom in her pocket. So she eats them. She eats them, and then she gets all giant. Mm-hmm. Giant. And obviously they get scared. It's like, you're way, way too big for us now. The king says that according to Rule 42, any people more than a mile high must leave the courtroom. So you must leave. Like, get out of here. And she says, I'm not leaving. Nope, I'm not leaving. She says some other pretty nasty words towards the queen. She says, you're a fat, pompous, you know, bad-tempered tyrant. And so she gets small again, though, while this is happening. So she goes back to the size that she was. And and the queen kind of gives her a chance, I guess, to say, like, what were you saying? I'm sorry, I didn't really hear that from where you were standing. Like, what did you say? And the Cheshire Cat repeats everything. Says, oh, well, she said that you were this, this, and this. And she gets angry, of course, and says, off with her head, off with her head. And they start a chase. So Alice takes off running, and everybody's running after her. She's able to make it to the front door, I guess, where she had come.
Yeah, she found her way.
She found her way back to the door. But he still says that she's locked. Like, I already told you, I'm locked. And she says, well, I understand that, but I need to get to the other side. Like, I need to leave. The door actually says, well, you're already outside. Like, see. And it turns out that she was asleep this whole time.
Oh, no, she was asleep.
So, Alice tries to get herself to wake up. Says, please wake up, please. And then all of a sudden, all of the characters are kind of jumbled together. And Alice wakes up. Mm-hmm. So apparently she was asleep the whole time.
She was asleep the whole time.
Do we think it was a dream?
I think it was a dream.
I think it was a dream too. But I like the new version that they did, the live action version, to kind of make it seem like it wasn't a dream. I actually do like that movie. I thought it was really, really good. But, yeah, so she ends with just going to tea with her sister and her kitty. So she doesn't lose her head, which is
great. Lose her head.
She doesn't lose her head, which is great. And that's the end of the movie. How should we rate this?
We should rate this by how many cups of tea.
All right. So, out of 5 cups of tea, how many cups?
I would say 4 cups.
I would give this a 5 cups.
5 cups!
Yes, because I love this movie so much. It's one that I rewatch a lot, actually. I love the characters. I love the music. I love the jokes. There's just so many good jokes in there. Just so something so silly. I love the accents. I love it. There's so much color. I love it so much. Who was the best and who was the worst?
Who was the best? I mean, Alice. Alice was the best.
Alice was the best? Mm-hmm.
as the worst. Just the queen. Because the queen? She's so murderous.
Who was the best for me? Who did I just love? I think the doorknob. The doorknob just cracks me up. I love the doorknob. Like the doorknob and maybe the March Hare. When he's like, it's like, what do you have to say about all this? And the March Hare is like, nothing. It's like, nothing, whatever. Nothing, whatever. I really like him too. Who was the worst? Yeah, the queen was the worst. Queen was awful. Oh no, the Cheshire Cat. No, he was the worst. His pranks. He was always like, he was not a friend in this one. No, he was not a friend. In the other Alice in Wonderland from 2012, like, he was actually a good guy. And it was still the queen that was bad. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, no, the Cheshire Cat got on my nerves. I was just like, oh my God. Just because he could appear and disappear whenever. But yeah, so that's it, folks. That is the end of this episode. What are we doing next?
I'm not sure. Because I honestly don't remember all the movies that I've picked so far.
I'll remind you. So, we'll see you next time.
We'll see you around town.